So we welcome today afternoon speaker, His Grace Madhavanand Prabhu. So His Grace Madhavanand Prabhu is the director of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, very senior counselor, and actively involved in the activities of ISKCON Chowpatty right from the very beginning. Let us welcome him by loudly chanting. Happy to announce that a committee of very senior devotees met to reevaluate the topics to be taken during the Sunday festival lectures. And after much discussion, they came up with a proposal that starting this Sunday, we are going to be discussing every Sunday one particular section from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It could be a chapter or a few chapters. And like this, we are going to have every Sunday discussion on the first canto till August. There are 19 chapters in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you attend these Sunday festivals, then you will get to hear the overview or summary of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam as spoken by Srila Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. And then from the second canto onwards, there will be description by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So today, Madhavanand Prabhu will be speaking from the first chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the talk is entitled Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. Something like that? Yeah, okay. So thank you very much. So just wanted to communicate this, and you can share this information about this structured discussion on the first canto in the Sunday festival lectures to all your friends also. Thank you.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna. First of all, I would like to thank all of you for being here on this very hot afternoon. In spite of such a heat, you have traveled from long distances just to come and give association to all of us on this Sunday feast program. So on behalf of the devotees of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, we welcome you all. I am also very grateful to the organizing devotees of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath that they have given me this opportunity for my own purification to discuss something about the very exalted topic of perfect questions and perfect answers based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. We all know that life is only questions and answers. If we see, analyze everything, all the living entities, from the small birds to biggest animals to human beings, all of us live our life with only these two things, questions and answers. From morning till night, there is question and there is answer. So generally we see what are the types of questions we ask. Not too many. Broadly, our acharyas are very expert to categorize and classify these questions. There are only four questions people ask all the time throughout their life. What are those questions? Ahara nidra bhaya maithunadi. Where is food? I want to eat. Where is food? Now my food, if hunger is satisfied, where can I sleep? Is somebody attacking me? I am always fearful. And where can I get little sex life? And all other questions which we hear on the television channels, in the newspapers, in philosophical books, whatever things you take, there are questions and answers. They are either the uncles and aunts or the children or the grandchildren of these four basic questions. There is nothing beyond these four basic questions. But then what is perfect question and what is perfect answer? This is today's topic. Today also is a very auspicious day. It is the disappearance day of Srila Ramananda Raya. All of you can see this beautiful depiction here. Srila Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had very close associates. Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, many others. But amongst them, these two personalities, Swarup Damodar and Srila Ramananda Raya, the Lord will always take pleasure in their association. He would discuss topics as equals. To all others, he would respect, ask them. But with these two, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Raya, he would discuss the most confidential topics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is the combined incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Of course, he is not one of those pseudo incarnations which we see cropping up every other day. The incarnations of Godhead are always foretold in the scriptures. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation has been labeled as Channa Avatar. That means it is hidden. Why it is hidden? Because it is mentioned indirectly. And only very intelligent people, they can understand who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharat, Garuda Puran, Agni Puran, several Puranas, they mention about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is a Atharva Veda, there is a section of Atharva Veda called as Chaitanya Upanishad. In great details it is describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth and activities. So this is the Lord. The Lord is never by popular vote that okay, we all feel, 100 people feel that he is the Lord, so he is the Lord. But the Lord doesn't require anybody's stamping. He is the Lord always. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And why does he come? He has come, first of all, when he left this material world after the battle of Kurukshetra, within few years he left this material world. And then he gave himself in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam to all the humanity. But the Kali Yuga is an age of deterioration. There is continuous degradation. And because of that, even that Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't have effect. So therefore the Lord decides to come himself and teach people what is this Srimad Bhagavatam, what is this process which is recommended by the Srimad Bhagavatam. How do we, in our own lives, apply the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam? So this is the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation. And when he comes with all his parishadas, all his devotees who assist him in this mission. So Ramananda Raya is one of those parishads. In Krishna Leela, he is Vishakha. Here we can see Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And on their two sides, there are two sakhis, the principal gopis, Lalita and Vishakha. They were Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Raya. And what was their role? They would enhance the ecstasies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he would think of Vrindavan, he would feel separation from Vrindavan. So Srila Ramananda Raya was such an intimate associate. And the Lord teaches through his devotees. When he came as Krishna, he taught us Bhagavad Gita through the medium of Arjuna. He spoke the whole Gita Then also he spoke to Uddhav, and same knowledge was given at a different time. This time, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's role, he came as a devotee. And through Ramananda Rai, actually he told the devotee, Ramananda Rai, to speak. Just as he spoke Bhagavad Gita, here the most essential truths about life, the goal of life, were spoken by Ramananda Rai at the request of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today, before we go to the perfect questions and perfect answers of Srimad Bhagavatam, we already have a very wonderful thing to remember about Srila Ramananda Rai's life, the perfect questions and perfect answers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanting to give the best process to the people of Kali Yuga who are very unfortunate, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Manda Sumanda Bhagya. They are unfortunate people. What is the misfortune? What is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga people? The most unfortunate problem of Kali Yuga people is that they are suffering miserably, but they don't know that they are suffering. Today you try to tell people what is the goal of life. Just as animals, they will not even look at you, because that is not their concern. The only concern is the four basic questions which animals ask: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And in that they are so happy, they are so busy doing those things till the end of their life, thinking, how will I enjoy more? And when the enjoying capacity goes away, they try to do all sorts of arrangements to somehow get little bit enjoyment till the end of their life. Srila Prabhupada, when he was walking on the streets of America with his initial followers, he would see old people playing frisbees and some kind of children-like games. And Prabhupada would stop and ask his followers, what are they doing? And they would say, they are playing. They are playing. They are trying to find some entertainment. They cannot play any other games of youth. So they are playing like children. And Prabhupada says, just see. They are old, but they don't still want to inquire what is the purpose of life. This is the situation of all of us. That no matter how old the person becomes, he's still wondering, how can I get more money? How will I increase my business? How will I increase my security? How the shares will go up? Where should I invest? Morning till evening. Early morning you travel in the trains, you will see people discussing these issues. Early morning. Yeah, have you seen this? Early morning. What are they talking? They don't, sometimes they talk about cricket, but more than that, they always talk about business. Where to invest? So this is the problem. That the most unfortunate situation is going on, that every day, by every setting of sun, one day has been taken off your life. And still, we are making big plans. This is unfortunate. That in Kali Yuga, people just do not have intelligence. And beyond that, there is very little life. The life is very short. So a process has to be designed in such a way that somehow people are tricked into it. That is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very happy process. So he comes to give that. And when he is giving, he is seeing that people are not ready to accept. People are rejecting him. He is a grihastha. So therefore he takes sannyas. Why? Because of course nowadays even sannyasis are not being respected. But previously at least sannyasis were respected. So he thought, if I take sannyas, people will respect me and listen to me. Utility is the principle. And Prabhupada would always say this, that whatever I speak, sometimes I call them rascal, I sometimes break the rules. And he had, one of the devotees, he mentions that how Prabhupada would sit in the airplane, and when the sit bed sign would come up, that means now you have to put the sit bed in the aeroplane. Just at that time, Prabhupada would get up and go to the toilet. And then no one could question him. He's an old man. So he would say, I'm an old man, I can get away with all these things. But he was using these things to preach in a nice way. He would chastise the scientists who were younger than him. In the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to utilize the sannyas ashram. And he gave up his beautiful wife, took sannyas and came to Jagannath Puri. And from there, he wanted to deliver the South India region and spread the message of bhakti. So he decides to go to South India on the plea of searching for his brother Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas earlier. And he talks to his confidential associates, Nityanand Prabhu and Jagdanand Pandit, whoever was there assembled at that time. And he takes their permission. And somehow hesitatingly they give the permission, and then lastly he goes to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take permission. And Bhattacharya had recently been converted to the path of bhakti by the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he felt that he has gained something which is so invaluable, and now suddenly, within few days, it is getting lost. So he started crying. He said, you can't go. Please don't leave me like this. I have just received something and I don't know when you will come back. But he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a determined person. He said, you are independent Lord, you can go, whatever, I am sure you will do. But at the same time, my request is at least 4 or 5 days you wait with me. So 5 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, takes prasadam, and after 5 days, he leaves. When he is leaving, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requests him that earlier, in the same court of Pratap Rudra, there is one devotee, Sri Ramananda Rai. He is a great Vaishnava. But because I was a Mayavadi, I was an impersonalist, I could never recognize his greatness. So I would always make fun of him. But now that I have been given this bhakti process, I can understand his greatness. So my desire is that you please meet Ramananda Rai in the city of Vidyanagar, and you will get great pleasure in his association. Please bestow this mercy to Sri Ramananda Rai. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu promises to do that and leaves immediately. And Bhattacharya falls unconscious. But of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not even look back. He proceeds and ultimately reaches the bank of River Godavari. And seeing River Godavari and a forest around that, he feels that he has come to Vrindavan. So he was in ecstasy. He starts dancing. He roams around in the forest, then crosses the river, comes to the other side, takes his bath and goes and sits in one corner away from the bathing ghat. And he understands this is Vidyanagar. So I should expect Ramananda Rai. And just at that time, a big procession is coming with thousands of people. The Brahmins, the music instruments, people are singing Sanskrit shlokas. And the governor of that province, he comes to take bath. It was Sri Ramananda Rai. He takes bath, offers his oblations to the forefathers, wears fresh clothes, and then sees in a distance Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting there. And just as a metal would get attracted to magnet, he just gets attracted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself, he had a very wonderful physical beauty. He was strong, golden color, broad chest, and with saffron cloth, he was looking effulgent like a sun. So immediately, Ramananda Rai went to the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, offered his obeisances. And when he was offering obeisances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that this is Ramananda Rai. Immediately he picks him up and embraces him. Ramananda Rai felt very shy. He said, "Actually, I am a Shudra. Why are you embracing me? You are a Brahmin and you are a sannyasi. Means both, at both levels, Varna and Ashram, you are the topmost. And I am the lowest, Shudra. How can you embrace me?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Are you Ramananda Rai?" And Ramananda Rai replied, "Yes, I am your servant Ramananda Rai." Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Sarvam Bhattacharya told me to meet you. And I am very fortunate that I don't have to look for you. You are all right here." And in this way, the master and the servant, they were just talking to each other as if no one existed. And at the same time, the outside people, the Brahmins who were accompanying this governor, they were wondering, who is this exalted sannyasi? He's a sannyasi, he's a Brahmin. How can he embrace his Shudra? And then some people were thinking that Ramananda Rai is such a learned scholar. He's a governor. He's an opulent personality. And why is he so respectful and so moved by this mere sannyasi? So they didn't really realize what is going on. And understanding what is going on, both of them, they decided that now we must not go further talking. And they decided to meet in the evening again. So in this way, Ramananda Rai went back, and in the evening, he came again alone with one servant to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the setting for the perfect questions and perfect answers. Immediately, after offering obeisances and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embracing, they went and sat in a secluded place. And Mahaprabhu asked the first question. "Quote some scripture by which I will know the ultimate goal of life." Mahaprabhu is teaching us what kind of questions we should ask when we are in the company of devotees. When we meet the devotees, there is no point in asking how is the weather. Huh? Is there any point? Or politics or whatever. Simply there is no point. It's simply a waste of time. Of course, we in due course of discussion, sometimes these topics come up and we do comment on this. But that's not the goal of our meeting. The devotees, when they meet, their focus is only one, the goal of life. So he asked the question, "What do you think, according to the scriptures, is the goal of life?" And Ramananda Rai, he answers, from Vishnu Purana, that actually, anyone who is perfectly situated in Varna and Ashram and does his duties according to the prescribed regulations, gradually he will attain a sense of God consciousness. This, according to me, is the ultimate goal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "This is very external. I want to know something more." Sometimes devotees, after hearing this Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussion, they deride Varnashram system. That Varnashram is very external. Or we don't have to follow Varnashram. But that is not the purport of this saying external. That's not the purport. He has not said it is wrong. He has said it is external from the point of view of the highest goal. Here he is discussing about the highest goal and something which is similar but at a lower level has been given to him. So even though it is external, it is not wrong. So therefore, we must follow varnashram. Even as devotees, sometimes we think that we are transcendental. We are transcendental. Why? Because we are chanting the transcendental Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that is not recommended, because Srila Prabhupada actually wanted to establish a proper varnashram system. And he said that is a job which I have not been able to do. And of course devotees, in their own way, they are trying to establish this system. So when this was rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as external, then Ramananda Rai says, okay, he quotes Bhagavad Gita, he says, whatever you do in your life, yat karosi, yadasnasi, yat juhosi, dadasiyat. Whatever you eat, whatever charity you give, whatever you are doing, tat karusva madarpanam. Offer it to Krishna. So again, this particular verse indicates that you can do anything you want in the varnashram system. And then, because you have anyway done it, you offer some fruit. Not bad. It's very good. That is also bhakti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects it. He says, this is external. Go ahead. I want to learn more. So then he says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma sucha. He says, giving up all varieties of religious duties, surrendering unto Krishna, this is the topmost goal of life. Now this is actually topmost. If you see, the Sri Sampradaya is based on this one verse. They talk always about only this verse. There are so many stories of so many devotees trying to understand this one verse, sarva dharman parityaja. What does it mean? But Mahaprabhu rejects it. He said, this is also external. Please go ahead. Ramananda Rai says, the Brahma Bhuta stage. Brahma Bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati. One who has come to the stage of Brahman realization, he does not hanker, he does not lament. And in that stage, he comes to me by devotion. So this is where he is trying to bring it up. Again, we may deride it, Brahma Bhut is a lower platform. We are talking of the highest platform, Krishna Prem. But we are nowhere near Brahma Bhut. It's very, very far. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still rejecting it. He is saying, go ahead, I don't want you to stop here. Ramananda Rai further says, the next stage, he says, that devotion which is devoid of speculative knowledge, that is very dear to Krishna. And then he quotes Brahma, saying how anyone who has taken up devotional life, rejecting monistic concept, he's addressing the Lord. He's saying, he is that person who conquers you who is totally unconquerable. It's a great verse. What is it? What is happening? The devotee is able to conquer the Lord. The Lord is unconquerable. He is known as Ajita, Ajay. No one can conquer him. But the devotee can conquer. Prabhupada would say this. that why should we become one with Krishna? We want to become higher than Krishna. He would say this confidently. Because, he said, Krishna dances on the tune of gopis. When the gopis sing, Krishna has to dance. When Arjuna wants to fight, Krishna has to take the chariot. This role Krishna takes voluntarily. Why? Because of love. Love conquers. So this is the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is good, this is right. I'm very happy. But tell me further. And then Ramananda Rai explains various levels of devotion in which the Lord and the devotee develop relationships with each other. There is the relationship of servitude, that is called as dasyaras. There is a relationship of friendship called as sakhyaras. You can relate with the Lord as a parent called as vatsalyaras. And you can relate to the Lord as your consort. That is called as madhuryaras. So in this way, progressively Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing out the highest possible truth to the mouth of Ramananda Raya. And ultimately, he asks further, is there anything further? And Ramananda Raya says, actually, I don't even know what I'm speaking. You are my Lord, and you are trying to bring out all these things from me. I'm just like your puppet. You are speaking through me. I don't know what I'm speaking. And I don't know anyone in this world who has asked any further questions than this. This is the Lord. When the Lord comes as a devotee, no one can compare his devotion. He is best in everything. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee, but he showed what is the best devotee. To the degree that historians sometimes have recorded that he was a madman. But actually it's a fact. He was totally mad for Krishna. When you go to Gambhira, there is a wall. Today also you can see the wall. And Mahaprabhu would feel so much separation from Krishna that he would rub his head, his face on the wall because he couldn't tolerate the separation from Krishna. Such intense love. So Ramananda Rai then explains further the love of Srimati Radharani, the love of gopis, in much great detail. But that is not our subject matter today, so I am not going to go further than this. This is perfect questions and perfect answers. So what is happening here? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a devotee, he is asking questions which are beyond basic questions of animal life. And he is taking us further and further and further up to the topmost level of what is the topmost goal of life. And that whole essence, the truth which is coming out of this discussion between Ramananda Raya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Acharya, say that he gave us few things which are non-negotiable. That means this is it. You have to accept it. We are all followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What did he say? Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanyas. Who is the Bhagavan? Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya. That means the worshipable Lord is that who is Vrajesha Tanaya? That means Vraja, Isha, the controller of Vraja was Nanda Maharaj, his son, Sri Nanda Nandan Krishna. He is Aradhya Bhagavan. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas, Tad Dham Vrindavanam. Just like he is worshipable, his Dham, Vrindavan, is also as worshipable as him. And how do you worship him? He says, Ramya Kashchitu Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita. Vrajavadhu, the gopis of Vrindavan, we have to follow in their footsteps. That's how we worship the Lord of Vraja. And that is the process which is given by him. And then he says, what is the proof for this? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. He says, the proof is Srimad Bhagavatam. Our ultimate authority for whatever we are doing is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prema Pumartho Mahan. We have to develop love, Krishna Prema, for the greatest Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion is very clear that we have to follow the process of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a great endeavor that the devotees here are trying to give us this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam in due course of time. Every Sunday we are going to read various themes in Srimad Bhagavatam. And today's theme is just the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. What are the questions? What are the answers? There is the Bhagavat Vidhi. There is the transcendentalists are divided into these two categories, broad categories. Those who worship the personal form of the Lord and those who worship the impersonal form. The impersonalism, not the form. Because there is no form, they are called as impersonal. And Arjuna, he asks a frank question to Lord Shri Krishna. They tell me, Shri Krishna, you have told me everything now, all the types of yogas and religious systems. You have narrated everything. I want to know which is higher. This is in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Which is higher? Those who worship your impersonal feature or those who worship you as a person? And unequivocally, very, very clearly, the Lord Himself, He says, those who worship me in this form, they are more dear to me. And the path which the impersonalist tread is full of difficulties. Kleshadhikarastesham. It's full of kleshas. Not only it is more dear to me, it is very easy for all of you. So therefore, O Arjuna, fix your intelligence in me, always think of me and worship me. So this is the process of bhakti, that always thinking of Krishna and worshipping him. Very simple. But how many of us can do that? How many of us can think all the time of Krishna? How many of us can claim that our intelligence is always planning something about Krishna? Hardly anyone. So that's not the process. Krishna says, this is the process. That fix your mind in me and by your intelligence always serve me. And in this way, you'll always be with me. Always. Very, very difficult. So therefore, the bhakti has two processes. One process is that those who are naturally attached to Krishna, they're naturally attracted. They're always wanting to be with Krishna. Very natural. Natural Krishna Das. It's automatic. For them, you don't require so much convictions. No big lectures, no 7 days journey of self-discovery, nothing like that. They just attracted naturally. Srila Prabhupada was in Mumbai and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, they were that time brahmacharis. They were all with Prabhupada. And they would every day had an invitation. They had an invitation with some wealthy businessmen, Marwadis generally, they are devotees. Most Marwadis are devotees of Lord Shri Krishna. So they would be invited to their houses. And one day, Srila Prabhupada is sitting in his room, big house, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, they're all sitting, all the devotees are sitting, and suddenly few ladies with tilak and decorated bodies, flower garlands, and harmonium, tabla, and kartals, and they come in singing about Krishna, the Braj songs. They just come in like this. And these people feel so uncomfortable. They feel, are these sahajiyas? They have so many questions in the mind. So immediately after, Prabhupada welcomes them. And they sit, sing for Prabhupada, and then they go away. And the brahmacharis ask a question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what is this? What is this? They don't know anything. And they are thinking that they are such great devotees. So Prabhupada just smiled and he said, you don't know anything about natural Vaishnavism. This was natural Vaishnavism. They are naturally attracted. His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj, he gives sometimes this example. He says, sometimes we question somebody's devotion. That unless he knows this, he is not a devotee. But somebody says, मुझे गीता नहीं आती, कुछ नहीं आता, मैं लेकिन मुझे कृष्ण अच्छे लगते हैं. I like Krishna. He says, he is a devotee, you have to accept him. He may not be even chanting, he may not know anything, but he is attracted to Krishna, he is a devotee, Krishna accepts him. So there is something which is called as natural attraction for Krishna. So some people are very naturally attracted. Their minds are already purified. So they can constantly think of Krishna. These are the pure exalted devotees. No one should imitate them. But because we are not on that level, so Krishna has another solution. So he gives, this is called as Raganuga Bhakti. That means you are spontaneously attached to Krishna. So you are constantly thinking about Krishna. But that is impossible. We have yet to get convinced that Krishna is the Lord. And Prabhupada knew this. Srila Prabhupada, even in these last days, all these disciples would come. They would chant Hare Krishna, wonderful devotees. But still Prabhupada had only one question. He would ask, are you convinced that Krishna is the Lord? This is after many years of Krishna consciousness, after doing so much service to Krishna and Prabhupada. Prabhupada had only one question. Are you convinced that Krishna is the Lord? So acharyas know the mindset of people. That's how they present the whole philosophy. So for those whose intelligence and mind is not naturally attracted to Krishna, Krishna gives the sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti. That means you follow certain vidhi or regulations. And those regulations are given by the Vaishnavas, by the acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada recommends in this same purport of this shloka where Krishna is recommending that, okay, you follow the four regulative principles of devotional service and in this way, one day you will attain me. So it's a gradual process. So Prabhupada there says that all people who are interested in becoming Krishna conscious or they want to achieve the love of the Lord, they have to do all the activities throughout the day. What are the activities? You cook for Krishna. You sweep the floor for Krishna. You decorate the deities of Krishna. You offer flower garlands to Krishna. Do everything, whatever you are doing, do your job for Krishna. And this is like all activities. So sometimes activities are very easy to do. What is difficult is last. So it's, and constantly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So this is actually one of the most regulative, important regulative principles. Constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and the devotees took him to the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Beautiful darshan. Very, very beautiful darshan. And Prabhupada was very impressed, very happy. Still, he commented, "This is very nice, but do not forget to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Because if you don't do that, very soon you will start saying, 'My guru has left a burden for me.' What is a burden? Taking care of the deity. Why it is a burden? Because it is not backed by Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not backed by the constant purification of the heart which attracts the Lord, the heart to the Lord's devotion. That purification has to take place every day. And that is why reading of Srimad Bhagavatam is a must regulation in a devotee's life. It's a must. You cannot, because our vidhi is not just deity worship. There is Pancharatraka vidhi and there is Bhagavat vidhi. Bhagavat vidhi means we hear, we chant, we speak about Krishna Katha. And Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are going to read some few verses, when the the sages, they ask the question that when Krishna has gone away, who is going to guide the whole human society? And that answer is that Krishna has left Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. It is literary incarnation of Krishna. It has the same qualities of Sachidananda Vigraha. Everything about Srimad Bhagavatam is as good as Krishna. It has the same potency to purify. So Srimad Bhagavatam is set on the background where questions will be asked and answers will be delivered by realized souls. As the Mahabharata war ended, practically ended, everyone died. And Duryodhana, when he realized that now there is no one to protect me, he went and hid himself under water. He was also a great yogi. He could live under water. So he lived under water. And only Kripacharya, Ashwatthama, and maybe third person, one more person was there. Kritavarma. These three people were left. They didn't die. So Ashwatthama was burning inside with revenge attitude. He had so much revenge that Pandavas have killed my father unfairly. He forgot everything unfair he had done. This is the nature of people. That whatever unfair you do, doesn't matter. But you do something. A devotee does something. Then says, why do you behave like this unfairly? But what you have done? So he was going and talking to Duryodhana that please give me permission. You make me the Senapati, last Senapati. I will kill all the Pandavas. I cannot live without killing them. So somehow, it's a long story, we'll cut it short. Duryodhana gave permission, okay, do whatever you want. And in the night, dead of night, they killed every person who was in the camp of Pandavas. Every person. And five people were killed who were sleeping in a row, thinking that they are Pandavas. But Krishna, he protects his devotees. He had already taken Pandavas somewhere else. So actually, unfortunately, at the same time, Draupadi's five sons, they were sleeping and they were killed. And their heads, in the dead of night, he put them in a sack and brought it to Duryodhana. And Duryodhana couldn't see them, but Duryodhana, you know, palpated them. And he could crush all the heads because of his power. He said, these cannot be Pandava's heads. They are very strong. You have done some mistake. So he went back and saw, actually it was a mistake. And there was a hue and cry and everyone got up. And then they realized what a massacre was done by this wretched son of Dronacharya. So immediately Draupadi, when she realizes that her five sons were killed, she was completely grief-stricken. Her situation could not be described. She somehow, with pain and anger, she said, get that person. I want to he should be punished. Krishna also said the same thing, and they all prepared to hold Ashwatthama back because he was running away. And Ashwatthama was held. When he was approached in fear, he released a Brahmastra. And Brahmastra always creates havoc. Arjuna also knew how to release Brahmastra. So Arjuna asked Krishna, what shall I do now? Krishna said, you have to also release Brahmastra. Ashwatthama doesn't know how to take back. But when you release, you can take back both. Therefore, Arjuna also released the Brahmastra. So when his Brahmastra was nullified, it couldn't kill Arjuna. Ashwatthama, such a revengeful attitude he had, that he directed it. He said, now go and kill the last person in the Pandava dynasty. That is the son of Uttara who is in the womb. And all of us know how, when the Brahmastra came, Uttara was frightened. She started crying, taking shelter of Krishna. And Krishna personally entered the womb and was circumambulating that small fetus. And he protected. And that boy, he saw this personality who is protecting him. Swami Parikshit Maharaj. His name is Parikshit because when he came out, he wanted to see who is this person who protected. So it is said that he would, whoever would come, he would immediately as a small child go and look at him. Who is he? And he wanted to know whether he is the same person. So he was doing pariksha of everyone. So that's why he was called as Parikshit. So same Parikshit, he ruled the kingdom very wonderfully according to religious principles. And at the end, when he was very young, one day he went to the forest for hunting. And while he was hunting, he felt very thirsty and went to a Muni's ashram and saw that the Muni was sitting in meditation. He felt very insulted according to the will of Providence. Actually, if you see, in future, same Parikshit is not going to eat or drink for 7 days. Nothing happens to him. But here he was little thirsty and he became angry. So in anger, he thought that he has not welcomed the king properly. So he took a dead snake and put it around his neck and walked off. And because of that, the son of that rishi, Sringi, he cursed Maharaj Parikshit that within 7 days you will die. How will you die? By a snake bite. So the spies, they brought the news. And the nature of great exalted personalities, devotees, is that they accept everything as Krishna's mercy. Parikshit Maharaj could have very easily counterattacked. He could have done so many things. He was also an exalted personality. But he said, probably this is Krishna's will. So he left everything and went to the bank of Ganga. And Parikshit is not some ordinary personality. He was so famous that as soon as people understood that this has happened and he is going to die within 7 days, they wanted to see how he leaves this world. So thousands and thousands of rishis, they have come to the bank of Ganga to understand how this exalted personality leaves this world. And at that time, Shukadeva Goswami comes and he narrates Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the setting of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit was saved as a fetus by Bhagavan, and at the end, Srimad Bhagavatam, the other incarnation, literary incarnation of Krishna, Bhagavan, saved him from, of course, he was already a pure devotee, but he gave him his protection. So, as a result, Parikshit Maharaj at the end, he said, now I am so purified by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam that let that mysterious being, whether a snake or whatever, come and bite me, I am not worried about it. So this fearlessness comes from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. It is to be approached as if we are approaching Krishna. His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami, he was very famous for reciting Srimad Bhagavatam very, very lovingly. He would always say that, do not approach Srimad Bhagavatam as a book or as some news or something like that to read. He is Krishna. You are in the presence of Krishna when you are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was the mood. This is the mood he recommended, that how we approach Srimad Bhagavatam. So today, now we have a few minutes. We will take few things from Srimad Bhagavatam. We will discuss what Srimad Bhagavatam talks about. And then we will discuss how our acharyas, they viewed Srimad Bhagavatam. And then lastly, we will conclude with how we should approach Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will take the few verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the place of Naimisharanya, which is for those who maybe are hearing for the first time, Naimisharanya is a place where it is considered the hub of the universe. If the universe is like a big wheel, then the hub is Naimisharanya. This is how Brahma created. When Brahma created this engineering model, the hub is Naimisharanya. And it is said, whatever activities you perform in Naimisharanya, the demonic results will not be there. Demons cannot attack you. Therefore, the sages had come there in large numbers to perform a sacrifice which would last for 10,000, 1,000 years. And that's when they asked the questions to Suta Goswami. That is why? Because Suta Goswami was present when Shukadeva Goswami was telling Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. This is how the setting is. So the first verse, we are just going to read three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam just to give an idea what is being discussed. The text one says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadayasya Yato Nvayadit Itarat Tashcharthe Shobidnyaswarat Tene Brahmhridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yatsurayaha Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo Vyatra Trisargo Mrisha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because He is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and He is independent because there is no other cause beyond Him. It is He only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By Him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of Him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon Him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon Him, for He is the absolute truth. Now, Prabhupada, when he is writing Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't know how much time he has, what resources he had. So he has tried to compact everything in the first few shlokas, then first few cantos. That's how Srila Prabhupada goes. And he has given a big, big purport to this, which says basically that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. This is the purport of the first incense. Because it's a vast subject matter, I have tried to just summarize it. And in the second shloka, so the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Vasudev, Krishna, and his activities and his relationship with the devotees. And the second shloka says, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Param Nirmat Saranam Satam. Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatra Yon Mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krute Kimva Parereshwaraha. Sadyo Hridaya Rudyatetra Krutibhi Sushrushubhitsakshanat. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. So, we have to note this. It is meant for Param Nirmat Saranam, those whose hearts are purified. They are without any envy towards any living entity. So are we qualified? You have to question ourselves. So how do we become qualified? We hear the Srimad Bhagavatam through the medium of realized souls, the Guru Parampara, great Acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, who make it easy for us to understand. Otherwise, Srimad Bhagavatam is a closed chapter for us. Because right in the second shloka it is said, it is meant for Param Nirmat Saranam. Not just Nirmat, Param Nirmat Saranam. There is no change. They are completely pure. In the beginning days we sometimes think that very soon I will be pure. I am not chanting Hare Krishna, following the four agreed principles. And I am humble. I am this, I am that. Very soon I will be there. One of my friends is a great devotee, now I will not name him. But one day he asked a question to a sannyasi, ISKCON sannyasi. That time not many people were present for the program. We were maybe 8 or 10 people, and this sannyasi was giving class. So he asked, what do you think about Madhurya Ras? He's just a new beginner person. He just started chanting. And he started talking like this. And that sannyasi, he was a powerful person. He said, first become a human being. And my friend, you know, he couldn't take it. He just got up. And he's sitting like this. Like, what? First become a human being? He got up. But because he understood actually what he's saying is correct, so immediately sat down. So, we are not even in a human platform. We are still going with those four basic questions. What are those four basic questions? Where is food? Where is sex? Where is shelter? Who's attacking me? Simple questions. We are on animal level and we are talking of Madhurya Ras. That is Sahajya. So, this is a Paramahansa Samhita. Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified as Paramahansa Samhita. It is meant for relished by greatest of personalities. Only they can relish. We can simply take the remnants what they have relished. So that is the next shloka. Nigama kalpa taror galita phalam shukam mukhad mruta drava sanyutam. Pibat Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhui Bhavuka. O expert and thoughtful man, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. All the Vedic literatures, their mature fruit is bhakti. And who is saying bhakti? Srimad Bhagavatam. It is showing us how to do bhakti. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. What is the property of this particular Bhagavad Purana? Liberated personalities, whoever they are, they get attracted. All of you, some of you may not know this story, so I'll just in short tell this story. That Shukadeva Goswami was liberated right in the womb of his mother. He was a liberated person. So he understood that once I come out, then my father will definitely tell me to get married, do business, or something else. I don't want to get into this. So he was on that Brahmabhut platform. He didn't want to get anything with this material world. So he decided not to come out. Powerful personalities. That time, of course, there were no caesarean sections. So no one could take him out, post-dated baby. He remained there for 12 or 13 years, not coming out. So ultimately, it is said that Krishna had to come and say, okay, you are immune to the material world, don't worry, come out. So he came out and walked off. He didn't even look at his father. Just walked off. So the father is thinking, how to bring him back? So then, he made a big plan. He called some of his disciples and he said, go to the forest and recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Recite about Lord Krishna's leelas. And that's how, when he heard from the mouth of these devotees the glories of the Lord, that's how he got attracted again and he came back. And he heard everything from Vyasadeva. And then he narrated again this to Shukadeva Goswami. So this is how Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified. And it deals with the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. They ask Suta Goswami, what will happen to the religious principles now that Krishna has gone back? This is one question they asked. Other question they asked, in age of Kali, people are quarrelsome, short-lived. Their intelligence is lost. How do we help them? Like the six questions were asked, and those six questions were answered. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And it goes on expanding and expanding and expanding. Those shlokas, then there are purports of the various acharyas. Many of our acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always regarded Sridhar Swami's commentary as the best or most authentic on Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Jiva Goswami has extensively written about Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has written extensively. Srila Prabhupada has written extensively. Prabhupada, in fact, went to the West with only one wealth. That is of Srimad Bhagavatam. 40 rupees and a trunk full of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will not spend so much time because we don't have so much time. How did our acharyas approach Srimad Bhagavatam? How should we approach Srimad Bhagavatam? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed how eager we should be to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. When he would go to Gadadhar Pandit and he would read Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Dhruva Maharaj, story of Prahlad Maharaj, and how many times he would hear them? How many times? 100 times. Can you hear 100 times? One class? You can't. We look at the watch. When will he end? So what is the process? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should be very eager. We are actually associating with Krishna. Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam are the same. So this is the process. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, exalted personality. The truth about Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't think anyone has explored it to such a degree like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. On the first shloka of Bhagavatam, which we read just now, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the Gayatri, he was talking Radhakund. He was speaking to the assembly of devotees. And people came for Bhagavat Saptaha. They thought, now, tomorrow he'll talk something else tomorrow. But one shloka he spoke for 10 days. Just one shloka. This is how they are. They can take one word and keep on speaking about it. This is the unlimited nature of Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna and the devotee's realization. Devotee's realizations are also unlimited. There are perfect questions and perfect answer. But beyond that, what is there? There are more perfect questions and more perfect answers. Beyond that, there are most perfect questions, most perfect. Beyond that, more most perfect. It goes on. This is how Prabhupada described. He said, Krishna is unlimited like an ocean. Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Vidhi, is unlimited like an ocean. And in an ocean, you might be an expert swimmer, but still you can never reach the shore. Same way, in Srimad Bhagavatam, you dwell into Srimad Bhagavatam. No matter how intelligent you are, you can never reach the shore. There will be many more acharyas who will give their own commentaries, their realization. Srila Prabhupada said, these are my personal ecstasies. The purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhaktivedanta purports, they are the personal ecstasies of Srila Prabhupada. Many times he would hear his own lectures, or he would tell his disciples to read Srimad Bhagavatam, which he has himself written. And some devotees asked Prabhupada, what is this? He said, I am just hearing what Krishna wants to tell me. This is written by Krishna. I am just an instrument. So, this is how Srila Prabhupada, particularly because he had very short time, he remained awake at night. He took great pain to write Srimad Bhagavatam purports. And this Srimad Bhagavatam purports, today they are acclaimed in the whole world as the best purports. The most authentic Vaishnava commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam is Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is also glorified many other Puranas. As that Purana which has 18,000 shlokas and a story of Rudrasura. Very specifically they say this. That we glorify that Purana which has Gayatri as a Chanda, story of Rudrasura and the shlokas, number of shlokas. And they say, if that Purana, now this is little bit from the purse. He says, anyone who donates this Srimad Bhagavatam, not just donates, but there is further line to that. Placing it on a golden throne, gold throne, with lions as a seat, he will achieve Krishna Prem. In the month of Bhadra, on a day of Purnima, if you donate this. Like that, there are many benedictions given. But Prabhupada actually takes away that Bhadra also. He says, anyone who donates. Prabhupada is a very expert personality. So he said, anyone who donates Srimad Bhagavatam, he will achieve Krishna Prem. Prabhupada guarantees that in his introduction that whoever reads this Srimad Bhagavatam, follows it step by step as given in the cantos, up to the 10th canto, which is like a face of Krishna. At the end of reading, he will achieve love of Godhead. This is Prabhupada's statement. He writes. So much importance in this Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are very fortunate that we are going to get to hear many, many exalted personalities speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada was very happy that these books, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam and Gita, they are being distributed. Even towards the end of his life, he was so always happy. We'll end on this short story. Srila Prabhupada was lying in his bed in Vrindavan in his last days. And reports would come from all over the world about book distribution. So one report from Yugoslavia, it came. What was the report saying? that here the devotees are so expert in distributing your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, that when the people, common man comes, we feed them sumptuous prasadam. We treat them nicely. They engage in kirtan. And they leave. When they leave, their hands are full of books, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. And their purses are empty. So Prabhupada, even in that state, he said, this is my business. Stomach full of prasadam, hand full of books, and purse is empty. He said, it gives me great joy. What does it mean? That don't take it cheaply, you have to pay for it. Srimad Bhagavatam, you pay for it and take it. Prabhupada was not interested in the money, but he was very happy that people are buying these books. They have to realize this value. So, we all should take great care to distribute this Srimad Bhagavatam, hear it from the great personalities and follow it in our own lives. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. I thank all of you for being very patient with me. I have taken more time than allotted. Hare Krishna.